Welcome to another episode of the Come Up Podcast. I am your co-host, Jimmy.
And I am the other co-host, Courtney.
This is the Come Up Steps to Success Podcast with your hosts, James Lawson and Courtney Steven.
And today we are switching it up like we always do.
Keep switching it up, man. Gotta keep y'all on your toes because you get too comfortable.
Real talk. But you know what? Like, we realized that we've released 28 episodes giving advice, bringing on entrepreneurs, authors, professionals to come and share their advice. Well, we realized that y'all don't even know who we are.
We've never actually sat down and told you about us and about our story. So today we gotta dial it all the way back to episode 000. And we got to tell y'all the origin story about who is actually behind the Come Up.
Real talk. So we're just going to take it all the way back, all the way back. Because, I mean, there's some things about you, Courtney, that I don't even know. You know, like, I know you started a business way back when in high school. But, like, what was the real first business that you started?
Oh, man. Okay. We're really going into, like, where this whole thing began, basically. Yeah, like,
why are you so addicted to entrepreneurship?
Well, the reason why I'm probably addicted to this whole business building thing, the whole idea of being an entrepreneur is because, man, my dad was an entrepreneur. You know, he had a courier business when I was growing up. And when I was, I wasn't going to daycare. When I had a day off of whatever, kindergarten or something like that, I used to just get in, ride shotgun with my dad in the cargo van and whatever. And he would just ride around town doing all his pickups. So, like, I was seeing him out there grinding, doing his thing from a young age. And that's just kind of what I knew. So in high school, actually, me and my homie, Jay Ara, we started a t-shirt company called Black Cards. And yeah, man, like, yo, it was dope because we drew all the designs ourselves. It was like, everything was like spades and clubs and like the black cards out of the deck. And, you know, we bought like these jackets. We were going to make Letterman jackets. It was like super dope. We were heavy into fashion. And really at that point in time, I was like flat broke high school student trying to split bus tickets. So I didn't have enough money to put the fashion line together. So that hype kind of just died out. And then when we got to college, we got together, me, Jay Ara, Malcolm, and our other friend, Jonathan Tempo. And we put together this company called Enrollment. And that was like my real first business venture.
Okay. So, I mean, first of all, that's crazy that you said your dad owned a business when you were really young and he just used to just take you along. And that's really how you got that first exposure. Because my dad also owned a business when I was super young. He used to own a grocery store. And I would remember that. I mean, he'd take me there and he'd be like, all right, James, yo, go put this up on the, you know, go restock, go do some restocking. And people would come in and they'd buy different things, you know, different African, you know, products that you can't get really out here. And they'd be buying African movies. And that was really my first exposure business.
Time out. African movies as in African movies or like bootleg American movies?
We talking Nigerian movies where the people be disappearing and you hear us. I know y'all know what I'm talking about, you know, but yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that was really my first exposure to business. And my dad's been an entrepreneur, business owner for, you know, several years. And that's what really got me in the game. I'm like, man, like the funny thing about it is mans would be telling me, go get an education, go get a nice job. And you're out here running a business. I'm like, I'm trying to be a business owner. That's the way to make it.
But you know what? It's like my dad said the same thing. Your education is going to give you such an advantage over people who are not educated. And while growing up, you know, I saw so many truths in that. But I think in this day and age, you have to understand that while school is like important, especially when you're young, you got to get that structure. You got to be in an environment where you learn how to learn. You learn how to stay dedicated to something. It's not even necessarily about learning exactly what's inside the textbook, more so honing the craft of mining the information out of it. But like, there's something to learn everywhere you go, everywhere you look. There's people to learn from. There's things to learn from. I think that's like the biggest thing about being an entrepreneur or about being somebody who starts businesses is finding it in yourself to go seek out information.
Real talk. And I think the great thing about school is the networking opportunity. You, like you said, you met some of your friends at school and you started up a business, but I met you because we went to the same high school, even though you weren't at the school when I went there. I met you through a friend, mm-hmm. who's my cousin, Robinson. And shout out to Robinson because that man has plugged me to so many different people.
And that's another entrepreneur that we definitely have to shout out because this is only 2 weeks removed from the Robin Wings grand opening, where my main man went from selling wings out of his kitchen to opening up his own restaurant. And I mean, that's no small feat. So definitely we've been surrounded by a whole lot of entrepreneurs the whole while. And I feel like you're the average of the five people you hang around most. That's what they say. So I think that's probably why we gravitated towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But do you remember when I was in college? This is after the enrollment clothing days. This is after the upside down backwards writing on the t-shirts. we moved on to a next venture, and I was throwing ideas around to you about this football camp that I wanted to get started. Do you remember that?
I remember that. But before we even dive into that, let's just talk about how far removed that idea is from the moment when we first met, which was when I was asking you. Actually, take that back. I got a story for y'all.
Okay.
So the first time that I officially met Courtney, and by the way, if you know Robinson, he's a storyteller. So he had already told me multiple stories about this legend that played at Turner Fenton football and was doing all of these crazy things. So when I said, all right, I'm trying to go to Turner Fenton, he's like, all right, cool. What position are you going to play? I said, I'm going to play free safety. And I remember he asked me, what number are you going to wear? And I said, I'm wearing number 21. And he's like, oh, you can't wear that. That was worn by a legend. Yo, they're retiring that number. And I remember I said to him, I'm like, yo, listen, y'all going to forget about that guy. I'm here now. And the first day I met you was my first football game, first Turner Fenton football game. And I remember Courtney came up to me. He's like, yo, who's the best player on this team?
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it could be like Julius. He's on offense. You know, he's pretty nice. And then there's guys on defense. He's like, nah, you're the best player on this team.
Mm.
And I'm just like, okay, I am the best player on this team. And then I just went out and balled. And that was the first time that I ever met you in person.
Dang.
It was such a great experience because that forever changed my life. Cause I'm like, okay, like that's the mentality I got to go in on the field every time. I'm the best in this business.
Mm.
And to even add to that point, I got that question on my interview, which we're going to talk about later for my promotion. They said, who's the best salesperson on the team? And I'm like, me.
Because
if I'm not the best, how can I elevate other people's level? And how can I get better than myself if I'm not the best?
And
we just put it at that. But yeah, man, that's the first time that we met. I don't know if you remember that.
That's crazy how those moments stick like that, because for me, that was a conversation that I had with somebody else too. And I think that's why, and I continue to have that conversation, especially in the football world, you know, whenever I get that chance, because like, I'm a closet coach. I don't even know if I'm a closet coach anymore. I think everybody knows, but like, I remember one time I was getting ready to play a big game in high school, and my brother played college football. So I used to always get on the phone and call him. He lives in the USA, so, you know, I can't necessarily see him all the time, but I was in high school. I called him talking about it before this game. I don't even remember the situation, but he told me, he's like, look, if you want to make it to the next level, when you step on that field, it doesn't matter if they're bigger, faster. It doesn't matter who they are. You got an opportunity to prove to everybody in the whole stadium, everybody who's watching the video, who the baddest really is. So you got to know in your heart of hearts that no matter what happens, you're about to be the best player on the field at all times. And if you're going to spend your energy getting to the ball, make them pay for it. So, hey, man, that's just the mentality you got to carry over. So no matter what it is, you got to believe that you're the best. Even if it's not true, you got to believe it. That's just like a part of my makeup. That's a part of my philosophy. I really believe that, man. So that's funny that that's what you remember, though.
Yeah, man. I hold on to that dearly because, I mean, for a long time, I've been looking up to you because you're a few years ahead of me in the game. You know, you went to college and played football. That's what I wanted to do at the time. So It was like I was just looking up to the person that was doing what I wanted to do. And I'm like, yo, let me ask this guy questions. How do I get to the next level? And so that takes us to, you know, the beginning of the project that you were talking about, which is Overtime Football, and how we were just bouncing ideas off of each other because, hey, that's what we've been doing. Yo, how can I get better on this? How can I get better on this? Yo, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And really, that just turned into, okay, well, we got this great idea. How do we bring it to reality?
Man, and we've been doing what we do here on TCU for like 3-4 years before we ever got behind the mic.
Yep.
Because I remember the first time Robinson told me, he's like, yeah, my cousin James, he's working on building this program for youth. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're working on building a youth mentorship program through football. You guys got to get together and link up. So I remember that's when I first reached out to you. Overtime, I don't even know if it had a name at yet at that point.
Nah, man, it didn't. It was just an idea.
Right. It was just a bunch of jot notes on paper and a whole lot of ideas on a spreadsheet and all that kind of stuff. And I remember we went to the same school, but at a different time, high school and college and university. So I remember we went out to Laurier and we started talking. I told you about my idea. You told me about yours. And then there was a few more times after that, we linked up, got food and just threw ideas back and forth. And that was really the beginning stages of, like you're saying, materializing what would eventually become, you know, one of the premier football academies in all of Canada, you know, Overtime Football Club. That was like my vision that I had one Christmas morning, just talking to my family, and they kind of just nudged me in that direction. From there, worked on it, threw the ideas around. And then in 2014, September, that's when we really founded the company. And then, you know, the following January is when we were running our first winter camps.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of those battles that we fought together allowed me to start, give me the confidence realistically to say, you know what, I can execute on some of the ideas that I have. And so Courtney was saying that, you know, I had a youth program that I was putting together. And so working with Courtney with Overtime Football and saying, okay, how do you register a business? How do you search for a business name?
Right.
How do you, you know, if you're making a certain amount, do you got to get a tax? You know, do you got to get an accountant? Do you got to open up a, get a HST, whatever it was? Those battle wounds, finding those things out. I remember we took a trip all the way to downtown Toronto just to talk to see a lawyer. We're like, yo, what do we need to know about registering a business? And they put us on. And like those things is what gave me the confidence. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? I'm going to start off spoken laws. And then spoken laws, you know, I got that into a school and we're doing workshops teaching kids about, you know, confidence, teaching them leadership skills, communication skills, how to take their ideas and bring it into life, because that's what me and Courtney were doing. We were taking ideas and making them reality.
Man, that's crazy. I forgot about that trip that we took that one winter day to go out there, go see that lawyer. It was crazy because we had to pay money for that meeting.
Yeah.
It was like 30 minutes and we had to pay him like a couple hundred at least, you know, and then pay for parking. You know how it is downtown Toronto. But like in the beginning, like you were saying, it's like, man, how do we even open a bank account? How do we do this? How do we do that? But I think it was the entrepreneur in us that was saying, all right, well, if we're doing all of this, let's write it down. Let's document it. So at that point, we started literally making lists and like checklists of like, okay, if you want to open up a business, you have to do this, 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 and that. And then from there, it was crazy because a lot of our friends around us wanted to open up businesses pretty soon thereafter. And then, you know, for the next couple of years. And it was crazy how we just had these resources that we had built, you know, out of necessity, kind of, that we could literally hand over and be like, oh, you're starting up a business? Oh, I got this PDF right here. Make sure you do everything on this list and you're going to be started way faster than we got started.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of it was asking a lot of questions, paying for stuff that nowadays we wouldn't have even thought about paying for, because we have it all. We've jotted down, like you said, we've noted it, and we built a sequence, a process for ourselves that we can hand to other people and they can use it too. So I want to go back a little bit, though, a little bit further back. And I want to ask you, like, what was that defining moment that said, yo, I'm going 120% with this?
I don't know. I feel like, are you talking about Overtime?
Yeah.
Oh, I could tell you exactly when I knew I was going 100% with it. So I was guest coaching at a high school. There you go, closet coach again. So I popped up at this event. My homeboy, Matt Buckner, CFL Hamilton legend, you know, a CFL old locker mate. His locker was next to mine when I was a rookie. He was really showing me the ropes in the CFL and stuff. So he had, you know, an appearance at a high school where he was going to be helping out running kind of like a sports camp for the day. And he asked me if I wanted to come out and help because it was in my hometown out in Brampton. So I went out there. I believe it was like Sandalwood or whatever the high school was. So we went out there for the day. And the vice principal at the school actually was like, hey, I see the way that you're interacting with these kids. You got a real passion for what you do. I would love to have you come out and, you know, work with the City League team because my son plays. So if you're down to come out, shoot, come on down. So I'm thinking, why not? You know, I love football. I love working with youth and, you know, it's right around the corner. So why not? So I go out to this other practice now. This is the second practice with the City League team. So these are like rep football players. They're a little bit better. You know, they got a little bit more skill. You could work with them a little more. So now I'm really getting into it. You know, the hat goes backwards. I pull my whistle out, all that kind of stuff. I'm getting into it. And then I had just in passing mentioned this little project that me and you had been talking about the whole while. Yeah, I got this little thing called overtime football. So now the principal, which is now my good friend, she goes and she tells a couple of the parents, well, oh, you know, Courtney got a football camp that's going to be running. Courtney, when's your camp running? Well, at this point in time, I didn't even have the business registered. So I'm like, January. Needless to say, that night I went home, I got on the internet, figured out how to register a business, open a bank account and get that thing popping because there was a few people who had signed up ready to go to a camp that didn't even really exist yet. But, you know, the boy had it all on paper, but I just was waiting for that one nudge to push me over the ledge. And then when I had already committed to running something and I put my name on it, you know, the last thing you want to do is sell out when you put your name on something. So I had to go all the way in and make it happen. So I had a couple $100 in my dresser. I went to the Apple store. I bought a laptop. I remember actually I bought the MacBook Pro and it was the first one that came up with the solid state drive. I got the Apple Care and whatever. It cost me like $1,700. It was like all the money I had saved up in my little dresser. And shoot, I bought the MacBook from there, started the company, and the rest is history, man. I had to go all the way in, though, because I made a promise and I put my name on it, and I was not about to look bad. I don't do bad business. Like, I don't believe in that. My number one thing is always customer service. Like, you don't want to lie to people. You don't want to give people a bad experience. So if you make a promise, you always got to deliver.
I feel that.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, to think back at it, like, that's 4 years ago, and it's just like, you know, that all started with a man saying, it starts in January.
Right. Why did I say that? Why did I say that?
Hey, sometimes you got to put pressure on yourself. You just got to speak it into existence and then work it into existence.
Right. So speaking of speaking it into existence, do you remember Talks with Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So why don't you tell the people about your experience making YouTube videos, because you're the first person that I personally know got on YouTube and really started doing like a vlog.
Yeah. So we'll take it back a little bit. My start and what kind of pushed me to start making videos, YouTube videos, or really just speaking in general, came from church. So my mom, she owns a church, or she started a church. I won't say owns. She doesn't like me using that word. She started a church, Christ Ambassador Powerhouse Ministry. And, you know, that was really my first start into public speaking. So one day I got the opportunity to, you know, go up there, share what I know about the word. And, you know, I did a 1-2 and a couple people came up to me after and said, wow, like, you know, I've heard this passage many times, but I've never heard it said like this, or I've never heard it interpreted like this. And or like, wow, James, like what you said really touched me. Like, these are people that are like 40, 50 years old. So I'm like, man, I was actually really, you know, spitting something out here and people took that. So, you know, I started a youth night, and in the youth night, I said, okay, I want to bring valuable information to youth that they can use in their lives. That's more than just what I'm reading in the Bible. So what I did was I looked at my life and I said, what are some of the things that, you know, I've done that I could say, yo, you did a really good job at this. This is something that people can learn from. So one thing is, you know, I've been in sales for about now 9-10 years. And so I know how to get a job. I know how to do very well in interviews. A lot of jobs that I get are within sales. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about sales and how to be and how to communicate, communication skills. So then I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to talk about that. And I'm like, all right, well, what else? Leadership skills. I'm going to talk about leadership skills because leadership is more than just being the guy at the front of a room. You know, leadership comes in so many different ways. So I was going to talk about that. So I got down a couple of points that I wanted to talk about, you know, started spitting that at the youth night. And people were like, yeah, James, like, I really like this. I really like this. I'm like, okay, well, I'm talking to like, you know, 4-5 people here. Like, how can I get this to a wider audience? So at the time, my girlfriend, who is now my fiance, she's in the hair industry, you know, beauty industry. And she was already doing YouTube videos and she was editing and doing all that stuff. So I'm like, man, if I could take that idea, that platform, and couple it with the information that I have, you know, I can actually share my message with people and just build a platform for myself. So, you know, put on the camera, stood in front of it, did my first one. It was trash.
Yo, were you nervous?
I was not nervous, but my girl said that I sounded like I was trying to be perfect. Like I was trying to say everything that I thought of. So like I had wrote a script and like I memorized the script damn near. So I sounded like a robot.
Yeah, that's mistake number one.
Yeah. So, you know, I recorded a few videos and then finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to record this and put it out. So I just recorded one, put it out. It did like, you know, a couple of views. And I'm like, all right, well, you know what? Like, man, I don't really care if people really rock with this. I just want to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So I kept, you know, dropping some videos here and there. And that really actually just segued into me doing, like I was saying, the Spoken Laws workshop, where I just took that and packaged it into a little workbook. And I just went to a school and I said, you know what? Like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm teaching, after I had broken it down into the laws of success. And I said, yo, these are the laws of success. This is what I've used to get to where I'm at right now in my life. And I feel like, you know, high school students really need this information to take it to the next level. And I got an opportunity to showcase that workshop. And, you know, from there, I just been doing what I've been doing now.
Man, that's crazy. And well, two things are crazy about that. First of all, the fact of how organic it was, because you really took your life experience and you took the opportunity to speak in the church and you bottled that up. And then that parlayed into an opportunity for you to repackage it a different way, bring it into school. But the second thing that's crazy is that, Jimmy, your last name is Lawson.
Yeah.
And I didn't take in that Spoken Laws was a play on words on your name until like 2 years later.
Yeah. So I'll give a little bit of a background into that. I did not come up with that name. To be honest, I'm horrible at coming up with names or things that are catchy, except for the come up. I came up with that. But man, I was driving. Me and my girl were driving and I'm just like, man, what should I call this? And at first I had a program called Who's Up Next. And the only reason why I called it Who's Up Next is going back to my time playing at football at Laurier. You know, when somebody goes down, like, who's up next? Who's going to step up next? And so that was the idea for the program. But I'm like, what do I call this business? And I'm like, man, like, you know, like, I speak a lot. I'm like, I talk, but like, what is like, how do I communicate what this brand is, what this business is? And then my girl's just like, Spoken Laws. I'm like, yeah, but like, Spoken Laws. I don't. And then she's like, well, I mean, your last name's Lawson for one. And I'm like, okay, well, now I like this idea. She's like, yo, you're speaking the laws that are going to change people's lives.
Right. It just made sense.
I'm like, all right, we're just going to run with that. And so that's how that name was birthed into this world.
Okay. Here's another question, though. So you said you weren't really nervous speaking into the camera. But for me, like, I started something last year and we were calling it 22 Live. And basically, when Facebook Live was starting to get hot, I wanted to work on my public speaking skills. So I created a Facebook group, added a bunch of people in there, and I was going live weekly and just kind of giving these short 10-minute talks so I could work on my public speaking skills. But it was, at first, it made me a little nervous, you know what I'm saying? But it definitely, it helped me get more comfortable delivering my points and like gathering my thoughts and spitting them out. But when you're getting up in front of people live and talking, it's a lot different than getting in front of the camera. So like, how did you, like, was that something that I know you did in the church, but I mean, getting in front of students could be raw because like they could be heartless.
Yeah, they can be savages.
They, like if they don't care, they don't care. If the really phone might care. Come out and they might just go see what's popping on the gram while you're in the middle of, you know, the deepest part of your speech. So like, yeah. You didn't have any apprehension or like, was that something that just came to you naturally?
I'll tell you this. I've been watching my mom at the front of the church since I was like 7 years old. So like, that position, it almost seemed like it was almost natural for me to be there.
Mm.
But going to my first presentation to high school kids,
I had to have nerves.
Oh, I was like, yo, if I say the wrong thing, these guys are about to go in on me. They're going to be laughing. Trust. I'm going to lose all my respect, you know, like all my authority. All that. And I was just thinking about all the things that could go wrong. And then I remembered, I just like, man, yo, Jimmy, you been doing this. This ain't the first time. And so when I got out there, I spoke a little fast because the nerves were there. I was trying to get through my presentation and I got feedback. And the feedback was, yo, you're telling your story. Why are you getting nervous about sharing your story? And so the next day that I went in, I just was like, all right, you know what? I'm telling my story. Forget the written script. Forget all of that stuff. I'm literally having a conversation. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm not here to, you know, tell you this is the perfect way to do something. I'm just here to tell you my story. So the next time that I went in, that's exactly what I did. I just told my story from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a lot more comfortable just doing that. I felt like I wasn't pretending to be, you know, E.T., or, you know, any of those guys that I've been looking to be like, I'm trying to be that type of motivational speaker.
Mm.
I was like, yo, I'm just going to be myself. And I told my story. And surprisingly, telling my story gave me the confidence that when a kid did pull out his phone, I was like, yo, Mayu, like, you pulling out your phone now, you missing valuable information that could change your life forever. And you're going to waste it on what? Like a 2-second check on your phone? This is the moment where you need to be in. And that kind of changed the atmosphere of that program because it made the kids realize that, yo, like, this guy actually cares about us. He's not just another person coming in telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually sharing his life story.
That's what's up, man. And I mean, I feel like one of the biggest lessons I've learned from coaching is that giving the information that you have inside of your head really reinforces it for yourself.
Definitely.
So like finding people to mentor and opportunities to really give back genuinely, though, you know, not just speaking for the sake of speaking, but like find people who are really going to open up and listen, and then giving them your experience, that kind of, you know, you relive those lessons and it solidifies it for you and it helps you grow even a little bit further to that next level. That's kind of why I love coaching. You know, that's one of the things that's closest to my heart. I feel like when I'm done playing the game, you know, when my pro football career is over, I'll definitely coach in some capacity, some way, shape, or form. I'll be working with athletes either at college, high school, or, you know, youth football. It's got to be, because it's just an opportunity. Like one of my coaches says, like, I used to have a coach and now he's coaching in the NCAA. He used to say, man, I got a gift for working with young men and communicating and speaking their language, and football is just the arena that lets me do that with the most people. So for I feel you on that, you know what I'm saying, that mentorship tip. But speaking of mentorship, you said E.T., Eric,
yep,
Thomas, the hip-hop preacher.
The hip-hop preacher.
Mr. Jeez. If you want it, so you gotta want it as bad as you want to breathe.
Yep.
Man, he came to my college when I was at Northern Illinois and spoke to us 2 times a year. We went to a MAC championship game.
There's probably a direct correlation there.
He is a beast. He is an animal. Would you say that's one of your go-to inspirations when you're looking? I know sometimes we all need a little juice.
Yeah, I mean, at the early onset of this entrepreneurship journey, and even before that, like, he was one of my main men. I'm going to say mentor because I was watching his videos religiously when I was playing at Laurier, you know? Like, he got me in the right headspace. Like, yo, this is what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's bring it back. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to just tell the story.
Hey Jimmy, tell us a story real quick.
So first year university, came in like, oh man, I'm the best, you know, top recruit from my high school, top player from my high school. Then I got there. Everybody else is, you know, top player from their high school, top recruit. So red shirt my first year. I'm like, man, I came up with every excuse. Like, I'm transferring out of here. I'm going to another school. Like, these guys don't value me, whatever. End up going to on a vacation, you know, doing some swimming and coming back. And I got this thing called cholestatoma. So if you look that up, it's a buildup of skin tissue or whatever. But I was built up in my eardrum.
Oh, man.
So at first they thought it was just an infection. They gave me all type of pills, injections, all this stuff. They're like, no, we got to go into your ear and plug this out. This is August, beginning of August. My surgery scheduled for the last week of August. So pretty much my football season is done from there.
Dang.
So football season is done. At this point, I'm like, man, like, I don't even know what I want to do. And that's when the man that I'm talking to right now sent me a video. You gotta want it as bad as you want to breathe. You sent me the video at the perfect time, because at this point was when I started recovering and I was allowed to work out. So I said, yo, if I really want to play college football, if I really want to get on this team and actually make plays, I'm going to have to do this even way harder, be more focused than I was even before I had this surgery when I didn't play. So, man, I remember just doing two-a-days, just going hard, just doing like extra work, because that's what ET was saying. He's like, yo, if you want this, you got to put in extra work. You have to put in that 120. And so I put in that extra work, and that following year, that's when I finally dressed. That's when I finally got on the field. So I definitely will have to give out a shout out to Courtney for putting me on ET. But ET's videos, man, like, when you're at the beginning phases of your grind, when you really just don't know what you want, like how to get your mindset right for that type of grind, he's definitely my go-to for that.
Man, that's real. Yo, that reminds me of so much. But like, working out for football is a sick and twisted event. It's disgusting. Like, you got to think about it. Why would you put yourself through that kind of strain and pressure for anything else?
Yo, it reminds me of, I don't know if anybody has ever, you know, if you're familiar with gladiators, but when they practice, they battle with real swords.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that. Cause like, when you're training for football, you're literally at sometimes putting the same amount of impact you would put on your body in a game. You're putting that when you're working out, when you're squatting,
without a doubt,
when you're practicing, without when you're running, you're putting almost the same pressure you'd put in game on your body. But now you're doing that maybe four times a week.
Yo, man, I got a lot of friends per se, but certain friends who really rock with me till this day, most of them are my workout partners from some point in time or another, whether they be workout partners from time during my pro career or during my high school career. And, you know, like Steve Dave, the football trainer, Steve McCollum, he was on like episode 11, I think. That's one of my high school workout partners. Or Ryan McCullough from Make It Entertainment. If you ever see any of the videos on my Instagram, he shot most of them, like 90% of them. But like, me and those two guys, we used to go to the YMCA in Brampton. That's like where everybody was at before LA Fitness came around, before all this stuff. We used to be in the YMCA just peer pressuring each other into becoming animals. It was like a regular thing. Yo, what are you doing? Chilling. What are you saying? Yo, you trying to lift? All right. Yo, I'll be there and yo, come outside. What do you mean come outside? Yo, grab your shorts and come outside. All right. Because they already knew you were going to say yes. And if you were going to say no, they were going to come inside and come get you.
A lie.
But then we would just go to the gym. And I mean, at that point in time, it's like you're saying, we just wanted it. Like, we were just young, hungry. Like, we were watching at that point in time, I want to say around grade 11 or 12, YouTube was just popping. Like YouTube was really just popping. I know that sounds crazy to some of you. Like YouTube hasn't been around forever. Like, no, my first highlight tape was on a VHS, believe it or not.
And yeah, even I got YouTube.
Trust me. And then we put my highlight tapes up like 10th grade. My highlight tape was on Google Video. And then after that, we got it popping on YouTube. But I remember we used to watch like Noel Devine highlights.
I remember that.
We used to watch Julio Jones and AJ Green high school, Major Wright high school highlights. And like just go to the gym and just beast out and be like, all right, we're going to do shoulders, back, chest. And then we're going to burn out at the end. And we'd just be working out, pushing ourselves, losing count of reps, just going hard and just going to the point of failure and just going to the point where it's like we have to go in the locker room after and just lay down because we trying our best not to throw up in the public bathroom at the YMCA because it's just we just going hard. We don't have any game plan. We're just going hard, you know, and that those are the bonds that I kept with me to this day because. Like you're saying, you're like gladiators. You go through some real tough stuff together. You share common goals. And it's not too many people who's going to stick with you through that kind of voluntary torture, you know? And those are going to be your boys forever. So, like, them sick, disgusting football workouts, those make you want to puke, make you have to come home and lay down on the cold tiles workouts. Those have you wringing your shirt out after the workouts.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Those are some of my best memories.
Yo, I got to just give a quick shout out because, man, you were talking about people you've been working out with. And I think it's super crucial to look at your circle of influence. Who is those five people that you spend the most time with? Mm. Because like you talking about people that helped you, that were with you, push you to the limits. Like if you had just like fans that just had average dreams, average goals, you might have been like, nah, I don't want to go work out. But because they were like, yo, guy, we're outside. It's time to go. The pressure was on. You're like, I'm not trying to be the lowest in command. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember, you know, my third year, shout out to Sydney Odom. He was putting me on, Sid. Man. He was like, yo, these are the workouts that's going to get us to where we want to be. And we would just go 2 days, 3 days sometimes just grinding because we knew what we wanted to get to. And we're just trying to work harder than the next man up.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember when I was at Laurier my second year after the first semester was done and I knew I was going to transfer to Northern Illinois. Man, my roommates, Josh Bishop, Tareen Allen, and Chima. There's only one Chima, so I ain't even got to say his last name. But they were getting ready to go to CFL Combine. So they were waking up early in the mornings and going and training for that. And then I was coming home from working out with them because they were my roommates. And then I was going working out with the team. So I was pulling the doubles in the offseason just because I knew I was transferring. I was about to go to NCAA school as a walk-on. And the biggest fear was showing up and being out of shape because, like, I'm looking at the NCAA like this monster, like this humongous promised land where anything goes and like they'll make you run until your legs fall off. So I was just training out of straight fear, but it was sick though because you know it paid off. Like that summer I got up to like 6'0" at that time I was saying 6'1", but let's be honest, 6'0", 205, the fastest I ever been, running like 4.53 pre-ACL. Man, that was a serious little 6 months of training right there. But shout out to those guys for pushing me.
Damn, yo. All right, though, let's talk about NIU. Because first of all,
oh, man,
you got to be crazy to say, yo, I'm out here killing the CIS at the time. Now it's called U Sports. But I'm out here killing the CIS. Like, you know, shoot. The accolades are there. Y'all can go Google it. My man has his own Wikipedia page.
Come on now. Relax.
Yo, a man said, I'm out here killing it, but I'm going to drop all of this and go walk on to a school that realistically probably had no sights on you. They didn't know who you were.
Well, I mean, that's what being a walk-on is. Like, anybody who's ever walked on at any school, you know, I tip my hat to you because that's not for the faint of heart, but you know, an opportunity popped up for me and it was crazy because Northern Illinois was coming to Canada for a bowl game. It was called the International Bowl. They don't even have it anymore. but some other people have been corresponding on my behalf. And basically, I went to go see the game, delivered the game film, and Laurier had given me a release because they understood that it was, you know, it was a dream of mine to go play in the NCAA. It wasn't anything personal. Laurier was like the best school in Canada, period. I was there like last weekend, got mad love for Laurier. But it was just one of those things, like, you're either going to take your shot or you're going to go to sleep every night for the rest of your life thinking about if you would have hit it or not. So, shoot, man, I had to roll the dice. And I'm glad that I did because, you know, when you train like how we just talked about, you train, when you work hard, it's really not a dice roll. It's a calculated risk. And I'm always going to bet on myself. So we went out there. Coach told me, he said, look, you could walk on this year, try out. And then, you know, if you prove yourself, you could stick around. But if not, then, you know, you're going to have to keep paying for school. So went down there first year, sat out. Team went to the conference championship. They were really good that year. And I was just trying my best to, like, help the guys get better during practice because that's how it is when you redshirt. Went through winter conditioning. Winter conditioning is sick. Disgusting. I do not miss it at all. Oh, my gosh. Talk about pushing sleds. And just when you're a walk-on, the type of stuff they do, they'll have everybody get in different lines. We're going to do a relay race. But in my line, since I'm a preferred walk-on, they're trying to see if I really want to be on the team. They're going to put everybody's line going to have 7 people and my line's going to have 6. I got to go first and last. But, you know, we working out at like 5:45 in the morning type of deal before anyone even goes to class. And they really just pushing you to your limit to see how bad do you really want to be on this team? Because there's only 85 scholarships, my man. You got to earn this spot. This ain't free. But, you know, then after winter conditioning, spring ball, go through spring practice. And I remember the morning of the spring game, right before the team announcements and all that kind of stuff, the coach went up to the front room, said, Courtney Steven, today I'm going to put you on full scholarship. And pretty much until I got married, that was like the best day of my life. Because, you know, all that grind, that hard work, that sacrifice, those risks, you know what I'm saying, them early morning workouts, all that, those diets, those times you drank water instead of pop, like all them times when you didn't do those things that you really wanted to do, the extra miles running, all that, it all paid off on that one day. So it was cool, man. We ended up being winning this senior class in school history. We're ranked 13th in the nation as a senior, went to the Orange Bowl, played a January 1st bowl game against Florida State. It was nuts, man. Like, you couldn't have wrote a better story if you were a movie writer. But, yeah, man, that's how the story goes.
Well, you kind of skipped a little part there.
Oh, yeah. You talking about the bad part?
Yeah. You made it sound so rosy, like it just happened.
It was cool. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, so this is what happened. My career, it was headed on a cool little trajectory. I remember after I got that scholarship that summer, we were working out. I took some summer school classes to get ahead and all that. And then we got to training camp. Blase, blah. We get to the first game of the season. We're playing against the Army Academy at home. Pretty dope. So first play of the game, 13 seconds into my career, my homeboy Jimmy Ward comes off the edge. Boom, boom. Blocks the punt. Okay. We're on the punt block team. He blocks the punt. I scooped it up, ran it in, touchdown on my very first play in the NCAA. I'm hyperventilating. I'm jumping up and down. I don't know how to celebrate properly. I'm just geeked up. My boys are going wild. I'm going wild. Fast forward to week 5, I think. All right. So I think we're playing against, I don't even remember. I just know the next game was going to be against Buffalo. So it was going to be close to home and everybody's going to get to come watch. Running down on a kickoff. I zigged. I should have zagged. And usually when you do that, something bad happens. I took a bad step, got pushed, boom, ACL, gone. So I'm in denial. I didn't want to believe it. But if anybody's ever had that injury, you just know that you never felt that before in your life. And that's not supposed to feel like that. So I tried my best to keep playing through it. Ran down on another kickoff. I think I actually made a tackle or something before it really went for real. And then in like the third quarter, I was just running and no one even touched me. I just collapsed. And that was the end of my season right there. So my time at NIU wasn't all rosy. I definitely, I took the big A. You know, I had to sit down for a little while, but it was a learning experience, man. I think that was really when I started to understand that football isn't who you are, it's just what you do. And it was good for me to get humbled like that, because all my life I had been defined, and I had defined myself by my athleticism. But when that gets taken away from you and you can't even go down the stairs and make yourself a sandwich, you start to realize that, like, life is bigger than this game. Life is bigger than running around and, you know, being an athlete. While that's very cool and it's a privilege and it's something to be cherished, there's so much more to life than just the game. So getting humbled at that young age, it really put things in perspective for me. And that's really a big part of the mentorship that I try to offer now, where I try to open up people's mind to the fact that, like, football is a vehicle for you to have experiences that you might not otherwise be able to have. Travel all across the country, make friendships, and you know, network, make opportunities for yourself, but enjoy it while it lasts, because just like that one play, if you zig and you're supposed to zag, you know, that might be one of your last plays of the game. So it was a bittersweet time, obviously, but, you know, I left NIU with a lot of good memories, a lot of good experiences, man.
Dope.
Crazy.
Doc, what the hell motivates you?
Oh, man. What motivates me? That's a loaded question. I would say first and foremost, my family, over and above all. Like, I will give everything for my family. And I feel like a lot of people say that, but, like, I mean that every day when I'm in those workouts and, like, it sucks. That's what I think about. I think about my family. I think about my legacy. Because, you know, that's the only thing that's truly immortal. Like, we're all going to go, but it's going to be how people remember you and what's the impact that you made. You know, everything that you touch, is it going to be better than you left it? So those are, like, the two main driving things for me. I want to make my family proud. I want to do right by them. But I also want to be remembered as somebody who, you know, did something significant with his time while he was here. But how about you, though? I know you got family of your own. Like, what's your driving force?
Yeah, man. Holy. For one, yeah, family, of course. Like, you know, my parents are immigrants, so they went through a lot just to get here. And I could have been born in Nigeria, but I was born in Canada, which, you know, opens me up to resources and tools that they never had. And because the lack of resources and tools they didn't have, and how they were still able to just make something happen for their kids, I feel like it would be, you know, disrespectful for me not to build on what they've done. So that's definitely number one. You know, now that I have a little girl, that means much more to me than anything before. You know, like, just being able to say, hey, you know what? I lived my life a certain way, and it sucked, but it taught me a lot. I want to be able to give my daughter the tools, the resources, the love, and the time that I might not have had. I want to give it to her so that she can build on what I've got, what my parents did for me too. So that's definitely number one, you know, family, just making sure that I could take care of them. Legacy is definitely a big one for me. And like I said, it builds on, you know, the legacy that my parents have been building too. I want to keep building on that. But ultimately, man, like, you only have one life. You only have one life, and you got to utilize it to its maximum. And you really don't know what the maximum is, because the maximum is what you make it. So there's no way in hell, like, that I'm going to be 80, 90 thinking back like, man, if only I had done that one thing that I really wanted to do. Like, no, I never want that to be something that I think about. So, like, that's why sometimes I'll be like, yo, I'm doing this, but I want to do this. I want to do this. It's because, like, I'm like, I just want to do everything that I've ever put my heart into. So that's a learning experience for me. But, like, it really comes down to the fact that I got one life to live, and all of these gifts and talents and people and resources and tools around me, I have to utilize it. It would be a disservice for this life that I was given to by the Most High to not utilize those goals. And I mean, not utilize those things.
Yo, I feel like, and maybe this is just me, And maybe this is why, like, yo, Gary Vaynerchuk is my spirit animal. You feel me? Like, yeah. I feel like time is always running out.
Yep.
I feel like there's so much to do. I wish I had nine lives, because if I could come back, I'd be an actor. I'd be a music engineer. I'd be a computer engineer. I want to try and do all these things and like seek mastery in all of them. But it's like, I wake up early because I'm trying to steal hours. You know, I read books because I want to experience things I've never done before.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the day is always coming to an end too soon. And it's not even like I'm out here just squandering my time. I feel like I'm actually going super hard. But don't get it wrong, though. Like, I enjoy what I do. Like, yeah. I get tired because, like my body is made up of, like, atoms and stuff. And, like, I'm a human. But yeah. If I didn't need sleep, I would never sleep because it doesn't interest me. Like, I don't want an easier life. I want to be able to reach all of my goals. And like this is how it hit me. Like, one day I was going on vacation, and mind you, I never had a vacation until like 2014, my entire life, which is like, for some people that's thing, some people it's not. Like, that's just whatever, it is what it is. So my agent, shout out to Darren, best in the game. My agent, he FedExed me two books. He's like, yo, read this on your vacation. So one of them was The Thank You Economy, and the other one was Jab, 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 Right Hook, two Gary Vee book. And so I read them while I'm on vacation. I'm in Bahamas. I'm sitting on my balcony. I'm looking at the ocean, and I'm just thinking, like, looking down, like, yo, all these kids running around down here, like, this is what they know. Like, this is regular for them. And I'm over here, like, damn near 25 years old almost. And this is, like, my first time ever experiencing something like this. And, like, if you know Gary Vee, you know he's, like, work your face off if you love it. And I'm thinking, I'm level 105 in this video game. What was it? Battlefield. I'm like level 105. Like, I've put in like 4 days worth of hours into this game. If I had put that into something more constructive, like, maybe I could come back here more often. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I just remember when I came home from that trip, like, retiring my Xbox and just taking a whole new approach to, like, personal development and, like, personal growth and, like, just my goals in general, and taking stuff a lot more seriously, because I just feel like time is always running out. And I don't know, some people may look at that and say, you know, maybe that's not healthy. You got to chill out. You got to relax. And I would hear where you're coming from. But one of my priorities, one of the things that I work real hard on, is like the relationships that I have with my family and stuff like that. So, like, I don't really got to chill out, because I think my priorities are in the right place. I think I dive all the way into everything I do, and I feel like I enjoy it all thoroughly. And the day when I really start hating the stuff that I do, that's when it will be a problem.
I mean, everybody has their own approach to the game. For me, like, I know if I'm like grinding my face off, like going to work, come home, open up the laptop, put in some more work, and be honest, taking care of my daughter is work, chasing her around, you know, spending that time to pay attention to her. And then obviously, you know, my fiance, taking my time to pay attention to her and have those conversations. By the end of it, I'm super burnt out, and I'm like, man, like, I want to just disappear, like, just disappear for like a day or so. But to be honest, like, when you look at it and you look at the big picture, you say, okay, well, shoot, I'm 25. If I put in all of my effort now, when I'm 45, when I'm 50, 2K20 something might be out, 2K30 something might be out. I could play that a whole day and I don't even have to worry.
Trust.
You know what I'm saying? So I just look at it the long term. And I'm not to say that, like, I don't take breaks now. There are days where I'm like, yo, I'm unplugging from everything.
For sure.
I need to just unplug and just do what, you know, is not going to take any cognitive resources.
For sure.
Like, throw on a Netflix series and barely pay attention to it, whatever it's going to be. But I also understand that if I want to live the lifestyle that I want to live when I'm 45, 50, I got to start living it now. And that just comes to just understanding, you know, looking at people's experiences, looking at where my mom always tells me this one thing. She says, you can't give what you didn't receive. And when she means that, I usually always like, mom, like, why didn't you guys invest in like Facebook stocks when they were like a dollar? Why didn't you guys, like, we'd be rich? That's what all these other people have been doing. That's why they're doing this and they pay for their kids' tuition and do. And I'm coming up with all these excuses and saying all these things. And my mom's like, well, man, I came here. I barely knew English. She became a nurse. She barely knew anybody. She has her own church. I'm like, damn. Okay. You just came here. You figured out what you wanted to do. And you accomplished it because that's what you knew. You knew that people and education was going to get you to where you wanted to be. So for me, I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to live the lifestyle where I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I don't want to be in debt until I'm 60. I want to be able to spend time and go to my kids' football games. I want to go to my kids' recitals. I want to do all of those things. I want to be on the parent-teacher committee, yo. I want to help, you know? If I want to do that, 9 to 5 is just not going to cut it for me. So I said, how can I get to where I want to be? And so I just looked at the people that were doing what I wanted to do. And I started looking at them like, all right, cool. The first book that really changed my life, and again, shout out to Courtney for giving me this book, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's the first book that I read from top, like cover to cover. Like I read everything, even the about the author. I read everything in that book. And that book literally changed my life. And it made me realize that if I was going to become what I really wanted to be, what I really want to do and have that flexibility and all those goals that I wrote down, I was going to have to become an investor.
I remember in one of the Robert Kiyosaki's books, he says, who do you have to be to have what you want to have?
Yep.
And that's really more just a question of what did the habits have to look like in order for you to have the reality that you're talking about.
Definitely. And so that's really what got me started in this whole entrepreneurship thing. I said, I'm going to go all out with this. I'm going to learn as much as I can. And even though I got to work full time to take care of my family, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop what I was doing before. I'm going to just keep doing it and keep doing it. And eventually it's going to pay off because I'm really just focused on the process because I know that the process will yield results when done right.
And that's all it's ever been, man. All those workouts, that's just the process. All this grinding, that's just the process. And you know, you could delay that gratification to understand it's to a bigger cause. That's when you really find success, man. So yo, it's crazy how we went back and tracked the history to get to this moment, because man, a lot of these times we talked about today, I hadn't even remembered, man. Like I lost count of so much. But I mean, time flies when you really just got your head down, you're trying to make gains, life events popping up, people getting married, having kids, moving, changing cities. But like humble beginnings.
The funny thing is that we didn't even mention the brief maybe like 6 to 8, 12 weeks where we were doing network marketing.
Oh,
but that's probably a story for another time. But just to let you guys know, man, like this is the origin story. Me and Courtney, we've been rocking with each other for, you know, almost a decade now, if not more than a decade. And realistically, like we like to share our stories, we like to share our advice. And it's not stuff that we just read in a book. Some of it is, but most of it is things that we lived. We lived through these things. You know, we talk about networking. Our first one was creating an elevator pitch. That's networking. Mm-hmm. That's like literally how we met each other and how we just, Courtney threw me a pitch about his idea. I said, yo, this is what I'm doing. And boom, 5 years later, we're out here putting all of those things into the real world. We're out here making it happen.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with us for a little while. Got to know us a little bit better. Maybe go back. Check out some of the older episodes. They might have a different sound to them now that you guys understand who's really telling the stories. And let us know what stands out to you the most, because we're trying to understand who's really out there listening. We want to get in touch with y'all and really make this thing pop. So, you know, drop us a line. Let us know if you like the episode. because this is just us, man. Not too many. I don't really think we had any notes prepared for this. We just got out here and decided that, man, this was well overdue.
Yeah, man. Nobody knows who we really are.
Exactly. We don't even put pictures on anything. We're just two voices that be talking about business.
We really appreciate you if you've been rocking with us and you absolutely knew nothing about us except for what we share in a few episodes. So shout out to y'all, the true, true fans. Now you got a little bit of background. Make sure you hit us up. If you're going to DM us on Instagram, hit us with a comment. Just have a conversation with us. We want to get to know you too. Like, who's really out there rocking with the TCU team?
Exactly. So, man, we just hit that 1 hour mark. Probably shut it down. But, hey, y'all will be hearing from us again very soon. Make sure that you take care of business because time is ticking.
Well, my name is Jimmy.
And I'm Courtney.
Signing out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find the Come Up Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. The greatest compliment you could give us is to leave a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher. This will also help us get in front of more people.
And you can connect with us on Instagram at The Come Up Podcast. Don't forget to visit us online at thecomeuppodcast.com for a detailed summary from every episode all the way back to number 1, including resource links and downloadable bonus content.